إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah. Then last week we had two points, points number 3 and 4, as numbered in the explanation. وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ And there is nothing like him. There is nothing like Allah. And there is nothing which causes him to become incapable. So who can remember with regard to the first point? وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ Who can remember an evidence for this point? And there is nothing like Allah. Who can remember an evidence for that? Jazakallahu khairan. The ayah from Surah Ash-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And we had that this ayah is a proof against two deviant sects. Who can remember who these two deviant sects were? The Mushabbiha, and the one extreme, and the Mu'attila, and the other extreme. So who are the Mushabbiha? Very briefly, who are the Mushabbiha? Sahih, no. Those who make the creation, or the attributes of the creation, like the attributes of the Creator, and don't distinguish between the Creator and the created and the creation. And on the opposite extreme, the Mu'attila, who can remember who are the Mu'attila? Very briefly and basically put, yeah, those who deny attributes of Allah. What's their excuse for doing that? What leads them to do that? Yeah. The fear and the excuse of tashbih, of if they affirm certain attributes, they claim that if we affirm these attributes, then we'll be likening Allah to the creation. Such as if we affirm a face for Allah, then the creation have a face. If we affirm a hand for Allah, then the creation have hands. So if we affirm these attributes, then we'll be likening the Creator to the creation. So therefore we declare Allah free of these attributes and deny those attributes. How is that ayah a proof against both of these deviant sects? The ayah from Surah Ash-Shura, how is the ayah a proof against them, both groups? As the brother mentioned, then the first part of the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There is nothing like him, is a refutation of the mushabbiha, those who declare the Creator to be like the creation. And the last part of the ayah, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, is a refutation of the other extreme group, those who deny his attributes. Because the last part of the ayah affirms two of his attributes, seeing and hearing. We also had a little phrase here that was quoted that summarizes the position of the deniers, the mu'attila, the position of the mumathila, and the position of the muwahhid, the one person who is truly upon tawheed. We had a small, nice little phrase to summarize that. Who can remember the phrase with a brief explanation of what its meaning is? Yeah. Basically, a paraphrase that Al-Mumathilu Ya'budu Sanaman Wal-Mu'attilu Ya'budu Adaman How the other way around Al-Mu'attilu Ya'budu Adaman Wal-Mushabbihu Ya'budu Sanaman Wal-Muwahhidu Ya'budu Ilahan Ahadan Samadan that as for the person of Tamthil, the one who likens the creator to the creation, or rather, the other way around, as for the Mu'attil, the one who denies Allah's attributes, then he worships something that doesn't exist. I mean, that which has no attributes. He worships one having no attributes, he's worshipping someone that doesn't exist. And as for the Mu'attil, the one who makes likeness between the creator and the creation, then he is worshipping an idol. And as for the person of Tawheed, then he is the one who worships Allah alone, the independent Lord of all. We also had a point from Sheikh Yahya while he was here that tashbih is of two kinds. Who can remember the two kinds of tashbih with examples of each? The first one, as the brother said, was those who mentioned amongst the tashbih of the creation to the creator, such as the tashbih of the Christians, who cause Isa alayhi salam to have resemblance with the attributes of the creator. And the opposite, such as, I remember an example of the opposite. Rahmakallah. No. The opposite, the mushabbiha. Who can remember what was wrong with the phrase Allahu ala ma yasha'u qadir? Allah has power over whatever he wishes. What is wrong with that phrase? Sheikh Al-Fawzan pointed out that's a mistake. That phrase is a mistake. What's wrong with that phrase? Allah has power over everything he wishes. In that phrase, Allah's power is restricted to by his will or his wish. And that is a mistake to limit Allah's power or to restrict it by his wish, because Allah himself didn't do that, didn't state that. Allah the Most High stated, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah has power over everything, and he didn't restrict his power. So it's a mistake to say Allah has power over what he wishes, meaning his power is limited to just what he wishes to have power over. That's a mistake to do that, to limit his power in that way. We also had finally then the phrase وَلَا يُعْجِزُهُ شَيْءٍ, and nothing makes him incapable, is a denial. Is that phrase, as is brought here by the author, is it just a pure and simple denial, or is there more to it than that? And if so, then what? لَا يُعْجِزُهُ شَيْءٍ. Nothing makes him incapable. That's a denial, a negation. Is it just a pure and simple negation and denial? Or is there more to it? No. Rather, it's in accordance with the belief and position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is that when something is denied for Allah, then it's denied to affirm its perfect opposite. So in this phrase, the phrase that nothing makes Allah incapable is because we affirm the exact opposite of that for Allah. Allah's perfect and complete power. So when we say about Allah, nothing makes him incapable, it's because we affirm for him complete and perfect power. So it's not just pure and simple denial, it's a denial of the deficiency along with affirmation of the perfect attribute which is opposite to that. Then with regard to this week, then we reach point number 5. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. And none besides him has the right to be worshipped. And none besides him, meaning none besides Allah, has the right to be worshipped. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, this is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. I mean, this phrase here is a summary of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. None besides him has the right to be worshipped. This is Tawheed. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of worship. The phrase La ilaha means La ma'buda bihaqqin ghayru. The phrase La ilaha, as occurs in the Shahada, La ilaha, it means None has the right to be worshipped in truth besides him. Then he says, as for if you were to say, لا معبود إلا هو, if someone came along and made the statement, or came along and said this is what the Shahada means, and said, it means, nothing is worshipped except him. Nothing is worshipped except him. Or as you often find it quoted in English, there is no God except Allah. Sheikh said, so if someone were to say this phrase, La ma'buda illa hu, nothing is worshipped except him. Nothing is worshipped except Allah. Then this is batil. This is false and futile to say this. Sheikh makes a very important point here, which many, many people misunderstand or don't understand at all and get very wrong. Having just explained what the Shahada means, which is that there is nothing deserving of worship besides Allah, he said. But if you were to say that it means nothing is worshipped except Allah, then that is false and futile to say that. And then he explains why. He says, because there are many things which are worshipped besides Allah, the mighty and majestic. And that's a false statement. Because there are many things which are actually worshipped besides Allah. So if you come along and say, La ma'buda illallah, there is nothing that is worshipped besides Allah, then you have made every object which is worshipped to be Allah. And the Shaykh is making the point here that in this creation, unfortunately, there are many, many things which are worshipped besides Allah. The people of Shirk, they worship many, many things. So if you come along now and say nothing's worshipped except Allah, then all those things that are worshipped besides Allah, then you've made them Allah. So that phrase is false and futile, batil. He said, and this is the position of the people of Wahdatul Wujud, in the extreme Sufis. This is the position of the people of Wahdatul Wujud, unity of existence. I mean, those people who say that the Creator and the creation are one and the same thing. Everything which exists is Allah. That's their saying. Everything which is worshipped, nothing is worshipped except Allah. Only Allah is worshipped. Then the Shaykh said, so the person who says this, I mean a person who comes along and says nothing's worshipped except Allah, or a person who says there's no God except Allah, meaning that there's nothing that's worshipped except Allah. He said the person who says this, if he actually believes that, then he is from the people of Wahdat al-Wujud. He's from the people of unity of existence. Those who hold that the Creator and the creation are one and the same thing. As for if he doesn't actually believe that, but he only says it, blindly following other people, or he just heard it from someone, then this is an error. I mean, he's made an error to say that. And it must be corrected. So Sheikh is making a very important point, which people very often get wrong. Many people get this wrong. But when they're asked to explain what is the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, they say it means there's no God except Allah, meaning that nothing's worshipped except Allah. That is wrong. As the Sheikh began, the correct understanding of the Shahada is that nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah, or nothing is worshipped in truth except Allah. Then the Sheikh said, and some people say this for an opening supplication in the prayer. So one of them says, وَلَا مَعْبُودَ غَيْرُكَ. Some people say, some ignorant people say when they begin their prayer, as a beginning supplication, nothing is worshipped besides you. And this is false and futile. So then again the Shaykh says, whereas the reality is that Allah is truly and rightfully worshipped, whereas everything else besides Him is worshipped falsely and without right. He's making the distinction, the very important distinction, the crucial and basic distinction, that there are other things which are worshipped besides Allah, and that's a reality, but they do not have the right to be worshipped. They are not worshipped in truth. They are worshipped falsely, and they don't have that right. And the only one who has the right to be worshipped and is worshipped in truth is Allah. That is the correct understanding of the Shahada. Then the Shaykh said, as evidence for this, He the Most High said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 62, with the explanation that is because Allah, He is the one who is worshipped in truth. He is the Haqq. That is because Allah, He is the one who is worshipped in truth. And whatever they call upon besides Him, huwa al-batil, is false and futile. And that Allah is the Most High, the Most Great. So it's a very important point that should not be forgotten. And it should be clarified to those people who misunderstand or don't understand this point. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends this particular point. And one thing that Shaykh Yahya al-Hajuri mentioned when he was here, Hafidhullah, when he was explaining at Tahawiyyah, he made clear that the Shahada, the most crucial and most basic thing in Islam, the Shahada, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, La ilaha illallah, he mentioned this Shahada contains nafi and ithbat. It contains negation and denial. And it also contains affirmation. It contains a denial and a negation of worship for everything besides Allah. And it contains affirmation of worship for Allah alone. That's the meaning of the Shahada. It contains nafi, a denial, and it contains ithbat, affirmation. And he said, and these are the two pillars of the Shahada. These are the two pillars of the Shahada. Denial and negation of worship for everything. And affirmation, or denial of worship for everything besides Allah. And affirmation of worship for Allah alone. And with regard to the next point, point number six, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, قَدِيمٌ بِلَا ابْتِدَاءَ دَائِمٌ بِلَا انْتِهَاءَ. He is literally the ancient one, without any beginning, the one who persists without any ending. So this is what At-Tahawi again says with regard to Allah, قَدِيمٌ بِلَا ابْتِدَاء دَائِمٌ بِلَا انْتِهَاء, that He is the ancient one, without any beginning, the one who persists without any end. Shaykh al-Fawzan said with regard to this point, as is indicated by the saying of Allah the Most High, Huwa al-awwalu wal-akhir, Surah al-Hadid, the third ayah, Huwa al-awwal wal-akhir, that Allah is the first and the last. Then he said, and also quoting a second evidence for this point, and his saying, alayhi salatu wassalam, he quotes the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, anta al-awwalu falaysa qablaka shay' wa anta al-akhiru falaysa ba'daka shay'. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a dua which he made to Allah, you are the first one and there was nothing before you. and you are the last one, and there is nothing after you. And this hadith is reported by Muslim in the book of Dhikr and Dua and Tawbah and Istighfar. And this hadith is a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would go to bed, then he would recite this dua. Oh Allah, and it's a part of a longer supplication. It's just a part of it. أنت الأول فليس قبلك شيء وأنت الآخر فليس بعدك شيء. You are the first and there was nothing before you. And you are the last and there is nothing after you. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan makes a correction of the original phrase about Tahawi, where he said قديمٌ, the ancient one. Literally, the ancient one. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, however, the word Qadim is not applied to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, except in the sense of informing about Him. As for calling Him with that name, then there is not from His names Al-Qadim, the ancient one. So Shaykh Al-Fawzan makes this point, that we do not say about Allah that He has the name Al-Qadim, the ancient one. But as for informing about Him, then we can say, as just information, the like of what At-Tahawi said, قَدِيمٌ بِلَا ابْتِدَى, Allah is the ancient one without any beginning. Then he said, explaining why this is the case, he said, because rather from His names is Al-Awwal, the first, as we saw in the ayah from Surah Al-Hadid, and in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to Allah as Al-Awwal, the first one. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, and the term Al-Awwal, the first, is not the same as saying Al-Qadim, the ancient one, because the term Al-Qadim, one who is termed Al-Qadim, that which is ancient, may have someone before him. But as for the term Al-Awwal, the first, then there is no one before him. There is nothing before him, the one who is the first. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَنْتَ الْأَوَّلُ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٍ, you are the first and there was nothing before you. So Shaykh Al-Fawzan makes the point that with regard to Allah, that the name for Allah is Al-Awwal, the first. And Al-Qadim, the ancient one, is not from His names. And then he said, however, the author, rahimahullah, he made a precaution here. And he said, قَدِيمٌ بِلَابْتِدَى. I mean, he made a precaution. He didn't just say Allah is the Qadim, the ancient one. He added a precautionary part at the end, which is قَدِيمٌ بِلَابْتِدَى, ancient one without any beginning. He said, and if he had just said قَدِيم, ancient, and remained silent, then that would not be correct in meaning. I mean, in the Arabic language, that which is قَدِيم, it means it's ancient, but it doesn't mean that that it didn't have something before it. It doesn't mean that. So there could have been something before it. So with saying it about Allah, then the Shaykh is saying it's okay if you say it about Allah, it's just information. If we put this precaution, قَدِيمٌ بِلَا ابْتِدَى, ancient without any beginning. Obviously what is best is what occurs in the ayah and in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that refer to Allah with that which is His name, Al-Awwal, the first. Likewise, on this point, because that's where Shaykh Al-Fawzan ends this point, as for Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, then he says about this same point, again a point of correction. He said, he's saying قَدِيمٌ بِلَا ابْتِدَى, that Allah is the ancient one without any beginning. Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, said, this wording, قَدِيم, does not occur amongst the perfect names of Allah. As the explainer, meaning Ibn Abil Izz, explained, Rahimahullah, and others. But many of the people of theological rhetoric, they mention that phrase, Qadim, about Allah, that He is Qadim, to affirm that His existence came before everything. However, the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. The names of Allah can only be affirmed with a text. It is not permissible to affirm anything from them, from His names, based upon opinion, as the Imams of the Salaf al-Salih have stated. And the word Al-Qadim, the Ancient One, it does not indicate the meaning which the people of theological rhetoric intended. I mean, they're trying to say about Allah that He has no beginning. If they're trying to say that, they shouldn't use the word Qadim, because it doesn't indicate what they're trying to say. He said, because the wording Al-Qadim, that which is ancient in the Arabic language, means that which preceded something else, even though it itself had something before, had or did not exist before. So just to repeat that point, he said, because in the Arabic language, the term Al-Qadim, that which is ancient, it means that which preceded something else, even if itself it didn't exist at one time. Just to clarify what the Shaykh is saying, for example, an old house, an ancient house, it means the house was there before many other houses. But then before that, maybe that house wasn't there either. It came about a very, very long time in the past. So the Shaykh is saying this term, therefore, is not correct. We shouldn't use this term. Or rather, when they tried to use this term for Allah to mean He had no beginning, that doesn't mean that in the Arabic language. It doesn't mean that which had no beginning. And then he gives an evidence. He said, such as occurs in the saying of Allah the Perfect, "Hatta aada kal arjun." With fatha. "Hatta aada kal arjun al qadim." Surah Yasin, Ayah 39, 36 Surah, Ayah 39. With the explanation about basically until it returned like the old date stalk. Until it returned like the old ancient date stalk. In the Arabic language, he's making the point that Qadim here, meaning a date stalk that's very ancient, but it doesn't mean that date stalk has always existed. It's ancient, very old, but it doesn't mean that which is everlasting and eternal. It doesn't mean that which had no beginning. It doesn't mean that in the language. Then he said, rather, the correct meaning is only indicated by the addition which the author mentioned here, which is to say, قَدِيمٌ بِلَبْتِدَى, ancient without any beginning. But it is not befitting to count that amongst the names of Allah, the perfect names of Allah, since it is not established in text. And we are sufficed in that regard by His name, He the Perfect, Al-Awwal, the First One. We've got no need to mention this term, Al-Qadim, because Allah Himself has the name Al-Awwal, the First. So we don't need to say Al-Qadim, the Ancient One, or even to put this addition here, Qadimun bil-Abtida, Ancient One without any beginning. We don't need that. We've got the term, which is authentic, occurs in the Ayah and in the Hadith, Allah is Al-Awwal, the First. وَهُوَ الْأَوَّلُ هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ Surah Al-Hadid, Ayah 3. And Allah is the one who grants success, Shaykh bin Baz mentioned, rahimahullah. Then with regard... Then with regard to the next point, point number 7, Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, mentioned, La yafna wa la yabid. He does not perish, nor does he pass away. With regard to Allah, He does not perish, nor does He pass away. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, Al-Fana and Al-Bid, perishing and passing away, have one and the same meaning. In these two terms, At-Tahawi here uses two terms, La Yafna wa La Yabid, Allah does not perish, nor does he pass away. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said these words both have the same meaning. And Ibn Abil Izz, in his explanation about At-Tahawi, he makes the point that the second one here is an emphasis of the first one, a ta'keed of the first one. Allah does not perish, la yafna, wa la yabid. He doesn't perish and doesn't pass away. The second is just an emphasis of the first. They both have the same meaning. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so Allah, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High, has as his attribute continual and everlasting life. Al-Hayat, Al-Baqiyah, Al-Da'imah. Allah has continual and everlasting life. So just as a side point here, then again, we have the same point. The text contains a denial here, that Allah does not perish, and he doesn't pass away. It's a denial, and it's brought here for affirmation of the perfect and complete opposite. Why that Allah does not perish and pass away? Because he has perfect and complete life. He has the perfect attribute, which is opposite to that. Because it's perfect and complete life. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Allah the Most High said, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayah 58. With the explanation, and place reliance upon Al-Hayy, upon the ever-living one, الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ, who does not die. Place your reliance, place your tawakkul upon Allah, the ever-living one, Al-Hayy, الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ, who does not die. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so Allah never perishes, never passes away. He, the Perfect and Most High, said, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th surah, ayah 88. With the explanation, everything will perish except for his face. Everything will perish except for the face of Allah. And he said, and he, the Perfect and Most High, said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Surah Al-Rahman, the 55th surah, ayahs 26 and 27. With the explanation, everyone upon the earth will perish, will pass away, will die. But the majestic and noble face of your Lord will remain forever. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so for him, he the Perfect and Most High is Al-Baqa. For Allah the Perfect and Most High is persisting and remaining forever. Whereas Al-Khalq, whereas the creation, they will die. And then they will be resurrected. And initially, they, the creation, were non-existent. To begin with, they didn't exist. And then Allah created them. And then they will die. And then Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, will raise them in the resurrection. So Allah, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High, had no beginning and he has no end. No. So we'll leave it there. I mean, had those 4 points, or are those 3 points? ولا إله غيره قديم بلا ابتداء دائم بلا انتهاء لا يفنى ولا يبيد. There is none besides him has the right to be worshipped. He is the Ancient One without any beginning, the one who remains without any end. He does not perish, nor does he pass away. Are there any points of clarification? With regard to the difference between Hulul and Wahdat al-Wujud, then to get a proper answer, ask the people of knowledge, which is very, very briefly and basically. As for the belief of Wahdat al-Wujud, then it's a belief that the Creator and the creation are one and the same thing, which leads to the, whatever you worship, then you're worshipping Allah. You get these extreme people of Wahdat al-Wujud, these extreme Sufis, who hold that whatever the Buddhists worship, and whatever idols the Hindus worship, and whatever any fool upon the earth worships, then that worship they're directing is worship directed to Allah. The creation and the Creator are one and the same thing. So the one who worships the person of Tawheed, who worships Allah alone, and the Hindu who worships a thousand idols, then they're all worshipping the same thing. Wallahu musta'an. But basically, they hold that the Creator and the creation is one and the same. Whereas Al-Hulul is the belief that the Creator is actually present within the creation. It's the belief of the Christians that Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, Allah, the one free of all imperfections, the Christians hold that he, or some of them hold, that he was in the body of Isa alayhi salam. And some of the extreme Sufis holding that Allah was within Al-Hajjaj, Al-Hallaj rather, Al-Hajjaj, Al-Hallaj. And within others, they claim to be their great sheikhs. They claim Allah was within them in some... But that's a belief of Hulul. That Allah takes bodily form in upon the earth. And obviously the worst of them are those that hold that Allah is in every place upon in the creation. Not just limiting to saying that Allah is within this individual here. The Christians limited, at least the Christians in their kufr, they limited their kufr to saying that Allah was present within Isa, alayhi salam. Is clear kufr. But some of the extreme Sufis, they don't limit it to that. They say Allah is everywhere. Allah is in everyone and in everything. Allah must die. Obviously many of the extreme Sufis, they hold both beliefs, Wahdat al-Wujud and Hulul, gathering all deviation together. That shows the importance of the saying, for example, the saying of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Rahimahullah, when someone asked him, how can a person recognize his Lord? How can a person know his Lord? So he mentions, by knowing that Allah is upon his throne, separate from his creation. That's how a person will know his Lord. By realizing that the Creator and the creation are two separate and distinct things. The Creator, keeping that distinction between the Creator and the creation. The Creator who deserves all our worship, and the creation who none of which is to be worshipped. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.